Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's a Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, joined as always by my man, JB Gilpin. JB, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going to be a little in and out. This is a little surprise time for us. I heard that you came down to the States and tried to vote, and they realized you weren't a citizen, and they locked you up, so you're unavailable yesterday.
No, actually, I just flew to Colorado and Washington State to push through some legislation in those two states. Other than that, I've been here in Canada. So,
I thought I'd make up a fun, interesting story, but I see how it is.
No, usually we tape on Tuesday nights, but actually, I guess you didn't get the Colorado and Washington reference, eh? Okay. usually we tape on Tuesday nights, but we did have the presidential election last night, so we're taping on Wednesday morning. So this will be posted Wednesday morning. So this is as up to date as we get, JB.
Yeah, we try to be bleeding edge.
All right, listen, let's get to some headlines real quick, and then I will take us through the up and down today just because JB has some other commitments, but we will get you through everything you need to know going into this week, which is week 10, correct?
Yes.
Or is this week 10 or week 9? Week 10.
Week 10.
All right, very good. All right, so listen, let's get to some things that happened this weekend. First one, and this has to be brought up because it was one of the greatest single fantasy days in the history of fantasy football. Doug Martin just had his way with the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, it was just one of those games where just every time he touches the ball, it's electric. We both liked Martin pretty sure the whole year. I've had him as an up call for multiple weeks because I know he started slow, but he was getting all the work. They like him there in Tampa Bay. I think we both kind of had a feeling that these big games were coming. The interesting little anecdote, in week one, I got offered Wes Welker and Doug Martin for Calvin Johnson.
Wow.
And I had to turn it down. I mean, I had a good roster. At the time, I had DeMarco Murray, Chris Johnson, and Jamal Charles at running back. So Martin would have been a fourth or third running back among those, you know, best wide receiver in the game. Now I'm looking like a moron, not taking that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Hindsight's 20/20.
Especially
going into the season, there was concerns about what was going to happen with Welker. Obviously, mm-hmm. those have been dispelled. I think he's at around 60 catches already halfway through the season. So, nice little season for Wes Welker. And, I mean, who could have predicted that Calvin Johnson would get off to the start that he has? Although the Lions are starting to look better. Three touchdown day for Mikel LeShore, speaking of which. Now, it was against Jacksonville. Who, quite frankly, I don't know if they'd be good enough to play in the Canadian Football League. But what's your take on Mikel LeShore going forward? I know we've talked about him a lot. I've been a fan of him. I don't think he's going to get three touchdowns. I don't know if he'll have another two touchdown game the rest of the season. But could you see three or four or five touchdowns for Mikel LeShore down the stretch?
You know, I could. I think the Lions are going to improve. A little teaser for you. I have Matthew Stafford as an up call coming up for this week going against that Minnesota defense. I think it's going to be a close but high-scoring divisional game. And I think LeShore could have a good game there, too. We've seen the Vikings defense really falter lately. I think he's still worth a play this week. I think he's a good flex or if you have kind of a crappy team, an RB2, and I think he'll be okay, but won't win you your weeks more often than not, like he probably won a lot of people's weeks this week. Quick note on Calvin Johnson, though. It's good to see him back getting his kind of numbers, 7 catches on 8 targets for 129 yards. Very efficient connections this week to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, again, Jacksonville is just...
True. But the Minnesota defense, Vikings, just have not looked – they've really imploded. I think all Lions should be started this week.
Yes, I do agree with that. Let's talk about Darren McFadden, because Darren McFadden makes me crazy.
Yeah.
that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, and you know, now he's got the high ankle sprain. You can't really pick up Mike Goodson because he also has a high ankle sprain. Now it's going to be Reese and Tywan Jones. Who knows? You can't really pick up one of those guys to replace him. I mean, this is what you get for drafting Darren McFadden. I don't think I've ever owned Darren McFadden in any league.
All right. Well, with McFadden and Goodson both having injuries, Marcel Reese was a big pickup on the waiver wire. I will throw this out. Tywan Jones, I know that the Oakland staff hasn't really given him a lot of opportunity this year. I do think there's an outside chance he could be explosive. So if you did miss out on getting Marcel Reese on your team, if you were a McFadden owner, Tywan Jones, I think, is an interesting gamble at this point.
Yeah, and one thing to mention, I think Carson Palmer's a really good pickup if he's still out there in your league. This team is going to be as one-dimensional as it gets with both Goodson and McFadden out.
You know, listen, I they're the Raiders, so they are what they are. But I will suggest that, you know, Reese and Tywan Jones aren't bad running backs. You know, McFadden's had a lot of issues this year. Part of it's been the schedule. Part of it's been the line play. I don't think they're that hard up at running back as some other teams with running back issues are. Although we'll see after this weekend how right or wrong I am on that.
Yeah, I think it could be a brutal day for, you know, for that backfield, but we'll see.
Okay, listen, a couple questions about some plug and plays this week, because a lot of quarterbacks are on buys. We're almost done with the bye weeks, but there's definitely some opportunity. I know I have RG3 in a couple leagues this year. Would you rather start Ryan Tannehill or Russell Wilson this week?
I'd probably go with Tannehill. That Tennessee Titans defense has been shaky all year. The Jets defense, I've given up the least points to opposing fantasy wide receivers. I think the Seahawks-Jets game is going to stay close and pretty low scoring. I have problems with Rogers Cromartie just blanketing Wilson's favorite target in Rice. I think I'd go with Tannehill.
Interesting. And what do you think? There was a call out by some of the Buffalo Bills this week about C.J. Spiller not getting enough touches. Do you see a scenario where C.J. Spiller gets worked more into the offense?
Yeah, I think fantasy owners all want C.J. Spiller to get more touches too. Probably everyone's wishing he does. I still think that I would prefer him getting more like 15 rushes a game, under 20 touches, because if they start really feeding him the ball too much, I think he could wear down. I think it's good that Fred Jackson's going to get some work. And Buffalo's going to be down this week as it is. You know, we saw how bad New England beat up on him a couple weeks ago, scoring 52. I think he'll still get his catches. He'll be out there in receiving sets, but he's still not going to be that, you know, dominant 30-touch running back that people are hoping he could be.
All right, speaking of backfield and touches by committee, it got a little bit more confusing in New Orleans this week. Ingram finally looked good. Chris Ivory had a lot of opportunity. Obviously, hopefully you don't have to have any of those guys in your backfield, but in a couple leagues, I'm stuck with a few of them. Which Saints running back would you rather have rest of season?
Ugh, that's one of those where I plead the fifth, take none. I mean, I guess I would take the upside of Ivory, because there's no way I don't see any scenario where Pierre Thomas or Mark Ingram get enough touches or are dynamic enough to become a fantasy starter that you're comfortable about in the second half. I think Ivory has the upside to possibly become a flex play that you're confident with, and that's why I'd pick him.
All right, listen, last question for you today, JB. Is Hakeem Nicks a great buy low right now? Because it sure looks that way to me.
I'm going to say no, because Eli Manning has been struggling lately. I wrote him as a bench for this last week. you know, only 10 for 24 last week. And I mean, I know the Steelers defense, they're coming out and playing stronger than they did, but they're still not the defense they used to be. Defenses are just absolutely blanketing Victor Cruz, had only 5 catches on 11 targets last week. You know, 1 catch last week. I mean, I guess if you could get him for 40 or 50 cents on the dollar, which actually you might be able to, I would maybe go for it, but I still would not feel confident starting Knicks yet. Or, I mean, a trading for him and then feeling good about making that move.
All right. I will say that he is someone that I am actively targeting in leagues because I could see him having some big games down the stretch. He is one of the best big game receivers in football.
Haven't the Giants taught you enough to not put faith in their players?
All right. Why do you got to keep going back to that? Why do you got to do that to me, JB?
Because it's so funny. I was looking at his stats. He still has under 100 yards on the season.
All right, listen, can we just move on, JB?
Yes, I can. Listen, I got to run as it is, so you can make fun of my up and down calls when you go through them.
Oh, I promise you I will. All right, listen.
I can't wait to listen to that.
All right, get out of here, JB. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. That was JB Gilpin, my partner in crime here on the Razzball Football Podcast. You can follow him at JB Gilpin, GILPIN on Twitter. And I am at Nick Capozzi, CAPOZZI on Twitter. All right, I'm going to take you through his up and down this week. So basically, I will just be poking fun at JB's picks. Although, as usual, he does have a couple good ones. First game going on this week is the Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars. JB likes Vic Ballard this week. It's a nice matchup against the Jags, which is fair. It looks like he's going to get worked more and more into the offense. Personally, I just don't think Donald Brown is very good. So Vic Ballard, a nice upside play against Jacksonville, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see what he does the rest of the season, especially that the passing game in Indianapolis is clicking so well. He is down on Rashad Jennings. I'm not even going to go into that because I'm just down on everybody. Hopefully you're not forced to start any Jacksonville Jaguars. The only players with any sort of value right now, in my opinion, is Cecil Shorts. And that's just because, you know, at some point in the game, you know that Gabbert's going to have to chuck the ball up in the air because they're going to be down by so much. That is the Thursday nighter, and hopefully you've got something better to do Thursday night than watch that game. No, I'm just kidding. It might be interesting. You never know, but the Colts are a fun team to watch right now. It's fun to watch that young offense developing together. All right, Sunday, we kick off with the Denver Broncos at Carolina Panthers. This is JB's team. He is up on Greg Olsen, who had a good stretch and then has quieted down lately. Denver does give up a lot of points to opposing tight ends. I believe they are the third worst team against tight end play. And the Panthers will probably need to pass in this game. I don't know that this will be close, but I think if Carolina can pull off a couple big plays, it might go a little longer than you might expect it to. JB is down on Peyton Manning. He's definitely not benching him, but the Panthers have been very strong against opposing quarterbacks. He could see Manning have a ho-hum 240-yard, 1-touchdown game. That's possible, but I could also see Manning having a 350, 3-touchdown game. I personally am starting Peyton Manning with confidence against Carolina. I just haven't seen enough from that team. In fact, in one of my keeper leagues this week, I actually am in a position to try and take the title. So I actually traded Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart to get Chicago defense and Vernon Davis. I overpaid in my estimation, but at the same time, the only thing I was missing, the two holes I had on that team, was defense and tight end. Next up is the Atlanta Falcons at the New Orleans Saints. JB is up on Jacquizz Rodgers. 2 straight decent fantasy games. There should be a lot of fireworks in this matchup offensively. I can't disagree with any of that. I've liked Rodgers all season long. Although I would be up on pretty much every Atlanta player against that New Orleans defense. I know New Orleans might play them tough, but I could see there being a lot of fireworks against an Atlanta team that is not getting the publicity that they probably deserve at 8-0. He is down on Tony Gonzalez, and I would be too. I mean, listen, I love Tony. One of the greatest of all times. Redefine the tight end position, but at some point, the fact that they have so many weapons on that offense and the fact that he is, you know, in his late 30s, Yeah, at some point, I think that the hourglass is just going to catch up to Tony Gonzalez. So I agree with the down on that. But I am also personally down on the New Orleans running back by committee. That just got a lot more confusing. Personally, I really like Mark Ingram, and I would like to see Mark Ingram develop and do well. He actually showed, a little bit last week, but it's just too messy of a backfield there. Hopefully, you don't have to play any of those guys. Next up is the New York Giants at Cincinnati Bengals. My man JB is up on Jermaine Gresham. He liked him last week, likes him here again against New York. New York is also bad against tight ends, like the Denver Broncos. I agree with that. I could see that happening. It'll be interesting to see if they're able. I find that with Cincinnati, if you're able in any way, shape, or form to try and control or bottle up A.J. Green, it's obviously going to open up a lot of opportunities for Jermaine Gresham. I don't know how the Giants, how well they'll cover A.J. Green. So from that perspective, I'm not sure how much I like Gresham. But that being said, I do like Jermaine Gresham as an athlete and as a football player, and I think there's a lot more upside there. So I'll give JB credit on that one. JB, as he mentioned, is down on Eli Manning. I think there's going to be a rebound soon for the New York Giants offense. And I think because there's a strong running game there, no David Wilson jokes, please. And I do see a big second half possibly for Hakeem Nicks. That is definitely someone I would be targeting in a couple leagues. So he's down on Eli Manning. I probably wouldn't be down on Eli Manning necessarily, especially against Cincinnati. I might actually be down a little bit against Ahmad Bradshaw, who's going up against a Cincinnati defense that's played a little bit better against the run lately. Next up is the Oakland Raiders at Baltimore Ravens. JB is up on Baltimore defense special teams. They have had a rough season this year, but he's theorizing that with McFadden and Goodson missing, it's a chance for Oakland to be more one-dimensional. And, listen, that is a fair argument. I will still, at least for this week, stick to my guns and think that Reese and Tywan Jones could be interesting. Tywan Jones is just fast. If you haven't seen any video of this guy, go on, take a look on YouTube. I really like Tywan Jones' upside. I mean, a lot. He's a guy that, didn't get a lot of publicity coming out last year. Didn't touch the ball hardly last year. Hasn't hardly touched the ball this year. And look, he's a little guy. He's there for, you don't want to put him out there for pass protection. But at the same time, if they can figure out a way to get the ball into his hands, I think he could be a playmaker. So I'm going to reserve judgment on that for this week. I will tell you, however, that I am up on Torrey Smith for the Baltimore Ravens. I think that they realize they've got to get the ball into his hands. And I could also see a big game from Ray Rice this year. Ray Rice has been very steady, but he hasn't had a lot of monster games this year. So I'll be curious to see how my man Ray Rice does against Oakland, especially at home. JB is down on Torrey Smith. It was good to see him score last week. He likes his potential down the road. I still think they realize they have to get the ball to Torrey Smith, and that's a big part of getting the offense running. So JB and I will disagree on that point. Next up is the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. JB is up on Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's been delivering when the matchup presents themselves, and I think that's fair. I think New England has had a lot of difficulties against the pass this year. I believe the last time they played, Fitzpatrick had 3 touchdowns against New England, so I will agree with that up. And he is down on Brandon Lloyd. And I think it's fair. A lot of people were really amped up about Lloyd coming into the season. Obviously, I like Lloyd's skill. But we've seen so many wide receivers other than Randy Moss go in there, to be the deep wide receiver in that offense. And it just takes so long to kind of pick up that playbook. And there's so many weapons there. It's hard to be up on Brandon Lloyd. I will say I am up, though, on Wes Welker. I mean, the guy has been Mr. Consistent, especially against that Buffalo. I could see Wes Welker having a nice little game against the Bills. Next up, we have the Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. He is up on Chris Johnson, and his quote is, "Remember when you're all angry at me for saying he's going to be fine?" I still am not a Chris Johnson believer. I think if he didn't have that big gainer at the end of the game last week, it just would have been another ho-hum game for him. I think part of the problem is the passing game in general. I might be a little bit more up on Chris Johnson than I was going into the season. But that being said, it would be very difficult for me to have any faith starting Chris Johnson in any opportunity this year. Plus, he's going against Miami, which has a tough defense. So he's up on Chris Johnson. I'm still down on Chris Johnson. I'm also, in general, down on everyone on that offensive side of the ball for the Titans this week. Usually I've been high on Kenny Britt, even though he hasn't rewarded me for my faith, as well as Kendall Wright. But again, Miami's got a really good defense, so I think they're, especially at home, there's a chance that they might be able to plug up that Tennessee offense. So, who is he down on? He is down on Reggie Bush. 10 carries last week. Listen, that's fair. I still think that there's a very good opportunity that Miami will run Reggie Bush into the ground, if only because he is a free agent at the end of the year, and they do have some running back prospects there. I'm not high on Daniel Thomas, but I am very high on Lamar Miller. Going forward, if you're in a dynasty league, you know, there's an opportunity, I think, to buy low on Lamar Miller. So he's down on Reggie Bush. I could see Reggie Bush actually having a not a bad game against Tennessee. So I think we will agree to disagree on those 2 points. Next up, we've got the San Diego Chargers flying to the East Coast to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is up on Mike Williams. TDs in 3 of his last 4 games. Everyone saw what Doug Martin did last week. That is obviously going to create opportunities in the passing game. Lots of single coverage. I can see that too. All year I've been up on Mike Williams. I think that he had a great rookie season. And last year he had almost the same amount of catches and same amount of yards. Just the touchdowns weren't there. And that was partly because there was no one on the other side of the ball. So I do like Mike Williams in that game. And I also like Mike Williams going forward. So I will agree with the up. He is down on Phillip Rivers. It is pretty well documented how badly he's fallen. You know, I think the problem is for so many years, other than Antonio Gates, and I liked Vincent Jackson when he was in San Diego, but the options just aren't there in the passing game. I think that there's definitely, they need an infusion of skill players. When you're bringing in guys like Robert Meacham, I understand sometimes, you know, change of scenery will help, but when you have a quarterback, and I do like Phillip Rivers, I think Phillip Rivers is a great quarterback. I think if everything's neutral, he might be a top 6 or 7 quarterback with even the upside to maybe move a bit higher. So I am also down on Phillip Rivers. But again, I don't think it's because of Phillip Rivers. I think it's because it's the options he has to deal with. And that's another note too. Antonio Gates has not had a good season. And I think when you look at guys like Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates, who are getting up there in age at the physically demanding position of tight end, you know, it's kind of like a running back. When the wheels fall off, they fall off. All right, the last early game we have is the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Whoa, what's going on here? JB's up is Matthew Stafford. Wow, that's interesting. JB feels that Stafford's going to have a huge game this week. Minnesota's defense is collapsing faster than a supernova. Listen, I like all the Lions against Minnesota this week. I think Minnesota is slumping. I think it more has to do with the offense having difficulty moving the ball. I don't think they're going to make a change with Ponder. I still think they obviously believe in him. And even though they were competitive early, I think for all intents and purposes, this is still somewhat of a retooling, rebuilding year for the Vikings. So I'm agreeing with him on that up. And he is down on no one, with Harvin likely out. All the fantasy players, AP, LeSure, Bell is a flex. Calvin Johnson, Titus Young, Stafford could have big games. I could see that. I could see... no, I got to find someone. I tell you who I'm down on. Here we go. Making a statement right here. Kyle Rudolph, a guy who I was so up on during the year because he was not overly involved in the offense, but in that red zone, he was just dominant. I started him in a very competitive league the last 2 weeks, and those 2 goose eggs, you know what? I am down on Kyle Rudolph until I see something, anything, to even bring him back into the discussion. So that's my down. All right, in the afternoon, we have the New York Jets going to Seattle. He is up on nobody. He likes Marshawn Lynch just fine, but he wouldn't want to touch anyone else. I'll tell you this. Here's who I'm up on, and I know I've been up on him all year. At least I'm consistent with my up and downs. I think Russell Wilson actually is going to have a good game against the Jets. Even though the Jets have had a week off, they are flying to Seattle. Seattle is a very tough place to play. I think the Jets' defense has been slightly overrated this year. I still think there's a good collection of talent this year, but for whatever reason, they're not working as a collective unit. I think Russell Wilson has slowly developed from being a game manager, and I think you're starting to see slowly Pete Carroll and the Seattle coaching staff kind of taking the top off the Russell Wilson's. Oh boy, I'm all over the map. I like what they're doing with Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson has a good game this week. How about that? So I'm up on someone. I'll make that statement. And JB is down on Sidney Rice. You know, I've been down on Sidney Rice all year, and it's not about the quarterback. I just think Sidney Rice had one good season with Brett Favre there when Favre was chucking the ball up in Minnesota, and I just don't see, with the injuries he's had, Rice being any kind of consistent high upside receiver going forward in his career. Hopefully I'm wrong, but you know, a wide receiver with two bad shoulders, it's tough to catch the ball. All right, we have another afternoon game. It is the St. Louis Rams at the San Francisco 49ers, and I got a feeling this might be a really interesting football game. So JB is up on Alex Smith, quietly putting together a solid season. He's had a few bad games, but otherwise he's been pretty good. I'm actually up. Here's an up for you. I'm up on the Rams defense. I think the reason this game will be competitive is that the Rams will be able to tighten down on that offense, which needs things to go right. The offensive line is very good, but it needs a lot of things to go right to have a good game. So I am up on the Rams defense while he is up on Alex Smith. So one of us will be right, one of us will be wrong. He is down on Chris Givens. And I think it's fair to say against that San Francisco defense, it's going to be difficult to go with any Rams skill position players. So I tell you what, I am actually down on Alex Smith and the 49ers skill position players in general in this game. I think Gore will get his yards, but I think it might be a tough day for the wide receivers. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch. The last afternoon game is the Dallas Cowboys at Philadelphia Eagles. He is up on Felix Jones. Look, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. I am not up on Felix Jones. I don't care who he's playing. He's let me down too many times. I'll tell you who I'm up on, though. Miles Austin has quietly had a pretty good season, and I can see Miles Austin. I think Philadelphia is just shaken. I don't want to say they've given up on Andy Reid, but I think there's so many problems there that at some point you have to start thinking not just about next year, but how that team is playing under that coach. And I just see, I don't want to say they're giving up because professional athletes don't give up, but I don't think they have that same fire in them. And I don't like Philadelphia the rest of the year on either side of the ball. So I'm going to be up on Miles Austin while JB is up on Felix Jones. Down, JB is down on media coverage of the Eagles. They're terrible. Okay. All right. he is really down on Vic, Jackson, and Macklin. Look, you know, I am down on the Eagles on both sides of the ball. And I, you know, I don't like the Cowboys, not the Cowboys in general, but so many of their fantasy players make me crazy. But I just see a big game happening here for Dallas. I got a feeling Dallas might blow at Philadelphia in Philadelphia, and that might be the end of the Andy Reid and Michael Vick era. That being said, if I owned an NFL team and Andy Reid was a free agent, he would be at the top of my phone dialing list. So it'll be an interesting game to watch. All right, I think we are going to have a fantastic Sunday night game. The 8:20 is the Houston Texans going to the Chicago Bears. I got a feeling this is going to be one heck of a game. He is up on Andre Johnson. Yeah, I just don't see that happening. Not against Chicago's defense, not in a national primetime game at home at Soldier Field. I tell you what, I'm up on both defenses. I think this is obviously, if you have either of these defenses, you're likely to start them. But I think this might be one of those old school smash mouth defensive football games. And I also think I'm going to go out here on a limb a little bit. I think the Texans will actually beat Chicago at home. And if they, if it is a slugfest and Texans do win, I think it is, in my mind anyway, what would definitely solidify them as a Super Bowl contender. But what a matchup that's going to be. I mean, you got some of the best defensive players in football. So I'm really excited to watch that. He is down on Owen Daniels. Owen Daniels has actually been the second, I believe, highest scoring tight end in fantasy this year. I am down on just all offensive players. You know, I'd obviously start Brandon Marshall if I have him. You know, if I have Matt Forte, I'm starting him. but I don't know how Matt Forte is going to do against that defense. Plus, I think it's going to be really difficult to get the passing game going with J.J. Watt smothering Jay Cutler for that entire game. So I am down on all the skill position players in that game. I think this is going to be one of the best defensive games of the year. Watch me be wrong. It's 35-28. And the last one is the Monday Nighter. And this, thank goodness we have a great Sunday Nighter, because on Monday night I might try and find a basketball game to watch. It is the Kansas City Chiefs at Pittsburgh Steelers. He is up on Dwayne Bowe. JB's theorizing that the game's going to get ugly fast. You know what? I wasn't big on Pittsburgh coming into the season. A couple weeks into the season, I wasn't big on them. I thought their defense was aging. The defense has played pretty darn good. And the way they shut down Eli Manning, I know JB was saying that Eli Manning, you know, might be the player with issues, but I'm starting to think that it might be Pittsburgh's defense is just getting into their mid to late season form. So I don't see a big game for Dwayne Bowe in this game. I don't like any Kansas City skill position players. I mean, if you got him, you got to start him. You got to start Bowe. You got to start Jamaal Charles. But I think Pittsburgh at home in Monday night, I think it's going to be difficult to get points, squeeze some points out of that Kansas City offense. Down? He is down on the confusion in the Pittsburgh backfield. Dwyer, Redmond, Mendenhall, who is it going forward? The Pittsburgh running backs are a mess. I wouldn't want to start anyone there. I wouldn't want it. As far as I'm concerned, that's one level below New Orleans in terms of running back messes. But I will say this. I think it's going to be not just a big, but I think Roethlisberger is going to have a huge game. I think that there will be lots of balls in the air on Monday night. And hopefully they will be being brought down by Heath Miller, Mike Wallace, and Antonio Brown. I see a big game for all the Pittsburgh skill position guys. So that is the up and down for this week. We are heading into week 10. It's going to be a very exciting week for football. By the way, if you ever have keeper or dynasty questions, that's really my area. So feel free to tweet me at Nick Capozzi, C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. And I love talking keeper and dynasty formats. You can also, if you want starter sits on Sunday morning, don't be shy to get in touch with my man JB Gilpin at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N. And of course, you want to be checking out rasball.com. Click the football button to see everything that's going on with all our great writers at rasball.com. That's all we got for you today. Have a great week of football, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back for you next week. That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.